Welcome to the second hour of First Edition here on 88.9. I'm Sean Yoes, your host. NWA Sports Report coming right up. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at First Edition 88.9, and don't forget to like and follow us on Facebook at First Edition on WEAA 88.9 FM. Go to WEAA.org on our homepage for the latest podcasts of First Edition, or subscribe to our iTunes podcast, First Edition. Also, hit me up on my personal Twitter account. The tag is at Sean Yoes. That is my name, S-E-A-N-Y-O-E-S. Or go to my Facebook page if you have information, insight, or breaking news you want to share with me. I'll share with people unless you don't want me to, and I won't. NWA Sports Report. El Crawfo.
What's good?
Uncle Perry.
What's up, Yoes? What's up, Crawfo?
Okay. Dr. Dre.
What's good, everybody?
Okay. Blanc.
What's happening, family?
Ramos.
Probably won't sound as dull as they just did. Hello.
Hey.
Say hi. Right. Hello. How you doing?
I mean,
hello, everybody. What's wrong with y'all?
Allergies.
Yo, blame it on season. The rain. Yeah.
He requested a water.
Me, I did.
Oh, I thought.
I went to the water fountain, and luckily, she was a doll.
Okay. Nah, this is some diva stuff.
Water. It's
don't
water,
hate
bro.
Me. Join me.
It's just water. It's just a little water.
You joined me.
A little water. All right. Let's start. Let's start with a really horrible story. The suicide. Some of you would say alleged suicide, but I mean,
it's alleged. I don't know.
The brother's dead. We know that. Suicide of Aaron Hernandez. I mean, at one time, an amazing football player. Obviously, the questioning is really more of a rhetorical question is, you know, what happens to some of these guys? And the answer, like I said, is rhetorical because they're human. They have demons.
I think the scary part about it is he's catching, you know, 60-yard touchdowns, and then after the game, he's living this double life where he's, you know, murdering people and I guess you could say gang-affiliated activities.
At least that was the allegation.
Yeah, it was the allegation. Then he comes back Monday, you know, he's a teammate. And a lot of the, you know, I don't know if the team, how much his teammates are, you know, covering for him or not, but, you know, they're practically saying that they had no idea that he was even doing this. And the crazy thing about it was even dating back to Florida, at the University of Florida. So I think, it's a very interesting and sad story, like you said.
Speaking of his team, the Patriots met at the White House with the 45th president of the United States. Tom Brady did not go, citing he didn't meet with President Obama either. But he cited that the situation with Aaron Hernandez kind of gave him was the reason why he didn't want to go, because obviously he is friends with Donald Trump. I don't know who else. There are several other Patriots who didn't go because of political. You know, feelings, quite frankly.
I think Martellus Bennett was one of them.
Yeah. Martellus Bennett was
He stated it early. Chris Long,
and he came out with a PSA about it. And if I could touch on Aaron Hernandez first, it kind of goes to the, you know, people don't understand how much sports and society go hand in hand.
Absolutely.
You know, your most greatest of triumph of tragedy stories from Leah Steele to Ray Rice come from sports. You know, when 9/11 happened, people were looking for football. To show them a light at the end of the tunnel again, you know? And I don't think there was a dry eye in Giants Stadium when the Giants took the field, you know what I'm saying? So this is one of the implications, and we saw a lot of the this week period. You know, we look at these guys, and just because they have all this money and just because they have this certain type of stature, you know, to the degree of Charles Barkley, I'm not a role model. To a degree, you are. But to a degree, hey, I'm not.
I'm
you
human.
Know what I'm saying?
I'm human.
At the end of the day, I put my pants on the same way that you do. I'm liable to make mistakes, E.I. Aaron Hernandez, or I'm liable to be able to he's liable to be able to live that kind of life. And it's not a depiction of the tax bracket he's in.
Right.
That's just who he was,
period. Right, right, right.
And then if you want to go back to what's happened with Isaiah Thomas, I mean, that man had one of the most important games of his life. And death is, I just lost an aunt 2 weeks ago. It's cool. And, you know, cancer sucks, you know. But death as a whole to deal with as a family is hard to do. But to have to deal with death in a sense of the world having to see it. I mean, the man dang near is crying before he goes and plays in a game. He's being consoled. They had a moment of silence, you know. And it's like, I remember when Michael Jordan was always larger than life. You know, I want to be like Mike. And what brought him down to reality to me as a little kid was when he had the flu and he had to get carried off the, wow, Michael Jordan gets the flu too.
Right.
At the end of the day, I mean, we make these guys these big superhumans, and Shaq has the Superman tatted on his arm. But Shaq is like me.
Yeah. You're human. We're all human. Uncle Perry, I'm curious to what you think about this suicide, this situation, really the arc of Aaron Hernandez's life. I mean, obviously the suicide is the end of it, but I mean the fact that as Al Crawford was talking about, he seemed to be living a double life.
Well, one of you guys said it. Actually, I think a few of you said it right when you presented the topic. You said, "I don't know," and that I think that's the only reaction. I think that's exactly the reaction that a psychopath or a sociopath like Aaron Hernandez would want you to. I think we're doing exactly what he wanted us to do right now. We're wondering what exactly was he thinking? Why would he do this? And everybody. I mean, that question applies not only to why would he commit suicide, but why would he live that double life that he was living?
Right.
There's no, absolutely, he just signed a contract extension. He's going to get paid $40 million. What would make you need to do that? But when you're suffering from a mental illness that I believe that he was, which, no doubt he was an extreme sociopath, man. I mean, like, you can tell that he was probably, for somebody to murder somebody, and they can just go on about their life and still have the type of NFL season that he was able to have.
Right.
You know, it clearly doesn't bother him. He's not thinking about how anybody else feels. It's all about what it is that he wants to do with his life.
Right.
And I think he decided that if, in fact, he did commit the suicide, because like you say, you don't know. And I heard you, Yost, before we went on air talking about I'm a conspiracy theorist, okay? All right, you know.
That was offline.
How do you hear that?
That was offline.
He put it on.
It's a ghost.
It ain't, you know.
Nobody
man,
had to know that. Nobody had to know that.
But I heard you trying to play me.
I was stating facts. I was stating facts. L. Crawford. It was me, you, and L. Crawford.
Wow.
I got it.
Now the world knows.
Step to you. I got to step to you like a man, all right?
You're right there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
okay,
yes,
you know, yes, some things, yes, that it's not conspiracy, it's life, okay?
It
life
is
a big mystery out here, you know? So we can't
it is. It's a mystery see, where you are right now, actually.
All the time,
that's
every
the
day.
That's the mystery. Where's Perry?
Closing tabs. He's at the local Applebee's. You know,
where's Perry?
Nah, that's not Wednesday. That was yesterday.
But that's the mystery.
It's $3 Long Island.
While you on air.
No. No, okay.
Right.
And I don't drink no Long Island. That's trash, okay?
Oh, wow.
My bad.
Cognac. All right.
Okay. Yes.
If we can get back to the original subject.
Of course.
If I can say.
You may.
If you look back at Aaron Hernandez's life, I think his parents split or something like that.
No, his father died.
Yeah.
16.
Yeah, so his father died at 16. So when they went back, Aaron Hernandez, and looked at his life, you know, he never was the same, they said, after that, even when he compelled his career. And look at it this way. You got to also look at the science of football. I mean, look at it this way. When Ray Rice makes a living, Sean, he makes a living of dodging 300-pound men called a Dominican Sioux. A Dominican Sioux sound like some monkey in the jungle if it was a name, a primate in the book. That's a Sioux.
Nice.
And guess what the Sioux's going to do? The Sioux's going to come and pound you. He makes a living off of escaping violence.
Right, true.
So, to a degree, if we want to take a psychological aspect of this, hey, it's not uncommon for Aaron Hernandez to see that his life is in a violent sense over here is the same. I mean, Earl Crawford just said he not only had a violent life off the field, but then he came to work and produced that work. It's like an addict. It's like an addict that can
well,
just
I think to your point.
And then go and be violent on the football field and escape guys.
Right. I think to that point. I mean.
I think it's actually more to the story, because as I, you know, did more research on it was even like reported that he was supposed to go to the University of Connecticut.
Okay.
And, you know,
it was too close to home, though.
Not only that, but when his father died, he started he had a brother that went to UConn.
Okay.
And he was supposed to go to UConn along with his brother, but when his father died, he distanced himself from his family, and you know, and I think some of his close friends, you know, he distanced himself from them and went off to to Florida.
His timeline of like his whole event is just like kind of crazy. Like he actually caught his last pass against the Ravens in the AFC Championship game.
Wow.
Then months later, he's indicted against Odin Lloyd, and then nearly a year after that, he gets indicted for the double homicide. Then, like a year after that, he receives a mandatory sentence. Then after that, he's acquitted of the double murder. And then, you know, we're talking about him possibly getting off. Yeah. And then he's found dead.
But all this
cell.
Is good. And the conspiracy theories, I mean, if you want to conjure them up, I mean, that's what we're supposed to do as analysts. And at this point, to some people, it's like, come on, it's just the ding-dong, the witch is dead part of this whole situation. You got to do that. But at the same time, this was a father that's lost. It's a brother that's lost. It's a son that's lost. Either way, how it was done, and you say you're not buying it, well, guess what? You can't buy death because he's gone.
Perry,
well,
he's only 27.
Perry, he's 27. I'm a year older than the guy.
Perry, you wanted to say something. I thought you were trying to say something.
No, well, when Crawford was mentioning how his life drastically changed after his father, I mean, that's typical of a sociopath. Most mentally ill people, you know, and not just mentally ill, but sociopaths specifically, they go through something that's crazy in their life, like it's crazy, and it messes them up, you know, for good. So, I mean, who knows what it is that he witnessed or experienced earlier in his life that has led him to this, and it's unfortunate that he was living this life the way he was living it, but, I mean, that's the mystery behind it. I know the only thing I know is I feel like we're all doing exactly what he wanted of us, and, like, we're wondering why. Right. Why would he do all this?
Or what would make him do?
Let me say this.
I mean,
last,
it ain't like he ain't had nothing to lose.
Say this last thing about this. His legal team doesn't believe that he killed himself, and his family is wants to have studies done on his brain and perhaps. See what the effects of CTE could be.
Well, Sean,
should.
There also was a report that, you know, hours before he was allegedly committed suicide, that he had a long talk with his wife for hours until, you know, I guess the phone time was up. So I would really be, you know, interested to know, you know, what did they talk about, you know?
I mean, when this story originally broke, you know, a lot of us were really divided. I remember when me and Mikkel were first starting out in radio, and we took different stances on it, like whether he did it or not. And at first, I didn't think that I thought he wasn't guilty. And then as the evidence came about, you know, then my stance on the whole situation changed.
With
the suicide, it kind of makes you question things again.
Perry, your final thought.
There are rumors out there, right, that he did it purposely so that, because if he's in the appeal process, his contract is automatically honored now, and now that money can go to his family. He was leaving like $18 million on the table from his last deal with the Patriots before all of this stuff started happening. He started getting in trouble and was arrested and whatnot. So, and that stopped his money. But now, if you're in the appeal process, contractually, he's now owed that $18 million. Yeah. I mean, even though he wouldn't be able to get it, his family would be able to inherit it.
All right, let's go forward. But let's take a phone call real quick, because Brother Ed may want to have a comment about Hernandez. Brother Ed, you're on the NWA.
Oh, thank you, man. I always enjoy your show.
Thank you, brother.
I think when they were sent, I believe one of the reports said that actually he had been acquitted of two murders, but still was found guilty of one murder.
Yes. Yes.
And then he had, of course, had to go back to jail.
Right.
So I think what goes down, I mean, I've never been in that situation, but you can only imagine the depression or, you know, what he went through mentally.
Sure.
He said, okay, now I got to go back to jail. You know what I mean? From a guy that was used to living that high life,
right,
and now you're in a 12x12 again, you know, it's probably a lot of psychological things going on. And to the extent that anyone would kill themselves or to commit suicide, that's tragic, you know?
Of course. Brother, thank you for your insight. Go ahead.
It's going to take a while to see, but don't worry about it. But listen, I just want to throw my two cents in real quick on Aaron Hernandez. I think the brother had a broken heart. And when he realized the judge said life, and he said life, he ain't going to not be with his family. They can come visit, and that was it. And, you know, mentally, it probably just drained him, and he couldn't handle it no more. And sometimes, you know, we don't know what a person's going through, but I think it was a more of a mental thing for him, and whereas though he realized life meant life, because he got away with everything all his life.
That's a good point.
You know, so I think that's what really just gave him the last straw. Right. You know,
indeed, great point, Mark.
It's kind of not to make this a, not to make the turn around, make it a little light. You can't make it but so light, but it's kind of like life. The movie, you know that part when Martin Lawrence gets a chance to drive the car and go pick up, I forget who was going to pick up,
and
he finally looked around, and he, at this point he's an old man, he looked around and seen how much world has changed. Life has changed. You will never be able to get back, even if he's not guilty, and there's certain circumstances that come out after this suicide that says he's not guilty, he would have never got that life back. Now he really can't get it back. Right. But, I mean, it's just unfortunate. I mean, 27 years old, a father, a darn good football player.
Great football player. All right, let's move on, though. Let's talk more NFL, though. Let's talk about the Oakland, soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders. It looks like Marshawn Lynch is going to become a Raider. Ooh-hoo. The deal may be reached by the draft time. That's a major, major move.
That's
a major, major move for the Oakland Raiders.
It is, but I would have appreciated more if it was in Oakland. You talking about hometown, Oakland, proud.
Oh,
pride.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they got 2 years in Oakland.
Well, yeah.
I mean, but still, the transition, you know what I'm saying? I mean, when you think Las Vegas, I think at Vegas at last, and you get the odds and you all types of lights, and I think boxing, I think Tyson, I think Holyfield, I think that. I don't think.
Now you're gonna think Raiders.
I don't think football team. You know what I'm saying? And when
it's
you
all gonna change.
And when you think about the implications of the black hole and what was built over the last year, and Jack Del Rio and Derek Carr and all that happened. I mean, Monday Night Football was live for how long since? In the black hole, and to take that away from those fans that have been waiting so long to move somewhere else. I mean, granted, the faith will go anywhere,
I think the best thing that the NFL has discovered and sports in general is that we will buy whatever they put out.
So, no doubt.
So I think a lot
it's
of.
It's a horrible move.
And Derek Carr kind of hinted to it. He was saying, you know, I think he kind of, his words were a little strong for the, it's almost like a slap to kind of the Raiders fans. He said, the real fans will follow. You know,
that is a slap to the Raiders.
You know, but when you really dissect what he's saying, basically he's saying is that's not going to stop your love for the Raiders.
I'm going to tell you the truth. The God's honest truth. I love the Raiders, have loved them since I was 10 years old. And I will continue to follow them. But I'm going to tell you, the fact that they moved to Las Vegas. Yeah, I'm a fan, but the fact that they moved to Las Vegas
doesn't take away from who
the Raiders are and their identity. It takes away from the game.
Yeah.
The NFL, we all from the beginning, it was a business.
Yeah.
However, it has become so much so a business that it takes away from the love, the intent,
the division,
the core
rivalry.
The core of the game. When I first started watching football, I mean. It just, the game is different now, and the game is different because of the business aspect being on steroids, literally and figuratively.
And you see other teams moving too. It really gives a different feel when teams are just moving, especially this many teams moving to different cities.
Los Angeles wasn't done for the implications of building a fan base in a winning organization, and I'm pretty sure there's some people that are saying that it was built for money. If the Washington Redskins moved to Delaware,
oh God,
it's no longer. I mean, granted, we're in Landover, Maryland, but it's still the nation's capital and the surrounding. Blah blah blah.
They might
but
move
at
to Virginia.
The same, if they move, I mean, hey, but might. If they move to Delaware, it doesn't. The implications of what an old NFC East battle is in against Philadelphia when I'm 2 seconds away from you. Don't matter no more as a fan to me because I'm ready to rip your head
come
off,
on,
Crawford.
Perry. Go ahead, Perry. Come on.
Look, I don't want to tell on your age, okay? But you know, I know you.
I mean,
yeah. You
know,
let's just say you're experienced. Yeah. Okay? But look, I know you're old enough to remember the Baltimore Colts, right?
Of course.
And I don't understand you. You don't have no passion towards that as a Baltimorean. I don't understand you. You got to explain that to me. You got all this passion about the Raiders leaving Oakland over there, way over there in California, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. But no, you don't got no love for the Ravens, no love for the coast, the Baltimore coast. You didn't care.
Hey, Perry, they left in the middle of the night, right?
Yeah. Mayflower moving band.
Leaving?
He wasn't pumped up when the Ravens, when it came back, we got a franchise back. He just, you wasn't pumped up, yo, but you over here crying.
He already moved on. He moved on
about these Raiders. And that's why I'm happy. I'm glad they moved in. I really don't understand it.
Petty Perry, there he is.
Give me your Baltimore card, all right? Because I don't understand it.
Petty Perry, everybody.
Petty Perry Green.
Strikes again. That was a shot.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Cravante's here, though. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more NWA Sports Report. We'll take your calls also. Sergeant Freeman, hold on. We'll get to you. Stay tuned. Back to the NWA Sports Report. All the usual suspects in place. El Crawfo, Uncle Perry, Blanc, Cravante. Dre is moseying as we speak. Ramos
Hello.
Is also here. Everybody's in here. Let's take a phone call. Let's go to Sergeant Freeman in Baltimore. Sergeant Freeman, what's up, bro?
Hey, Sean. Long time.
Yeah, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. On my Legends tour, man. Checked out Marcus Miller at the Rams head. I saw four plays, shook hands with Bob James, all that. Went up to the ACC tournament for a week. Now I'm on my way to see AWB at Rams head tonight.
Oh, nice, nice.
But listen, hey, I ran into the base, man. We kicked it a little bit. Very quickly, man, first of all, on the New England thing.
Yes, sir.
They are not innocent. They knew this guy's rap sheet when they recruited him.
Right.
They knew his rap sheet when he was in Florida, when he was around the hood, in the Connecticut area,
right,
before he went to Florida. They dropped him like a hot potato. They don't mention him. He's a pariah, and so on and so forth. And that is, when they speak about the New England Patriot way, well, that's their way as well.
Right.
So that's why Marcellus Bennett is coming out like he is, and Long is coming out like he is in terms of the connection with the Trump situation with Robert Kraft. I refuse to eat anything made by Kraft. Let's put it that way.
Okay, understand.
And that whole situation is an abominable nightmare with the New England Patriots. And everything they do has an asterisk by it in terms of that win. You know, you're up by... Do the field goal,
right?
The tuck rule.
You're preaching to the choir, brother.
One other thing is, I'm just saying now. They knew this kid and how he was. They recruited him really hard, and you know how good he was.
Yeah.
And so when they speak about the reputation of their players and whatnot, they're just as bad as anybody else in the NFL and any professional sports.
Right.
Now, in terms of your Raiders,
yes, sir.
Ooh.
Whoa, what happened?
That was a sign.
You know, I called it last year, so I'm calling it again.
What's that?
Well, Sean, remember I said the Raiders would be pretty good.
Well, they are going to be pretty good.
Well, I'm saying before the beginning of the season, I was the only one on this air that mentioned that, as you well know.
Okay. All right.
Should have been 3 years ago.
All right. Okay. Fair enough. Thank you, Sergeant Freeman, and there he goes. All right, so...
Sergeant Freeman must be predicting a very successful recovery for Derek Carr, right?
He's fully recovered.
Raiders are successful.
Right.
If Derek Carr is the Derek Carr he was last year.
He's fully recovered.
Perry.
Your favorite player,
your
right?
Your favorite player. Yes, here he goes, right on time.
I love the kid.
Right on time.
Yo,
I love
the kid. You were saying he was going to be Perry, bad as soon
Perry,
as he...
Perry would do anything to jinx him, and he starts
No,
out.
No.
He's very early. He's as long as he's healthy.
No,
See, look, there he goes laughing. There he goes. There he goes. Because, Sean, because you were really hard on Derek Carr, and Uncle Perry would not let you forget it.
And, of course, he would not.
Yeah.
Of course he would not. That is Perry's – that's his role.
You know,
he said be grateful. He said be grateful.
Be grateful.
Yeah,
Be grateful.
You're not grateful. You're
not grateful, Yos. You don't deserve him, Yos.
You don't deserve him. Yeah.
Grateful. Be humble, Yos.
He spent more time talking humble. About the Raiders than the Ravens last year.
Oh, by far. By far.
Be humble. All right, let's talk. Let's give 5 minutes to Serena. She's pregnant.
Yay.
Facts.
Go. Yeah, guys.
Serena's pregnant.
She is.
I don't know how true the reports are, but they. I mean,
you see her belly button.
She's 20, no, I'm just saying. No, I'm weeks, saying. 20 weeks. The way the timeline is. Wow. She played a whole tennis.
Didn't she win it? The
she
tournament.
Won it. She yeah, won it. She won it, and like her doing that as you know, pregnant.
Maybe she didn't know.
That's unbelievable.
Maybe she had no idea.
It's possible. I mean, Tiger Woods won a tournament on a torn ACL, so I mean, it's possible
Dre,
for people.
Where are you going with this?
I'm about to say.
No, I'm just saying it's possible to do stuff in sports.
Man, he's playing golf.
She got to move around.
He playing golf. Yeah, she was amazing.
Look, I mean, and for her to be 20 weeks stuff. Pregnant, don't even look, you know, look like it. I mean,
I gotta say she's always
she
been.
She broke
you know.
Every man's dream in America.
She did. That's why I'm. That's why I'm just upset. It's not me.
You know how many Instagrams I walk by? All a bunch of guys like, no, how has thou forsaken?
Gotta let it go.
I saw one that says, "How has thou forsaken me? She cannot be pregnant." Really? She's got a husband. She's married.
All right,
yo.
Yes,
remember you said she's probably the greatest athlete ever.
No, I said she's the greatest tennis player. Everybody. I said she's the greatest tennis player, but I didn't say she was the greatest
athlete.
No, I really
said. You said
no,
she,
I didn't.
Find
no, I didn't.
Perry, Uncle Perry.
I didn't say
I think Perry might be right.
I agree.
I remember.
I think so, too.
Yeah. I don't think she's the greatest athlete ever. I think she's the greatest tennis player ever, man or woman.
Roll back the tape.
I agree with the
okay, fine, but I don't remember saying that. I'm not. Here it is. You lying, Yos.
Even though you lie,
I mean, see, remember the first time he pulled that out? I said I respect the Ravens. You lying, Yos, you lying.
We know everybody knows that's a lie. But look, she might be the greatest athlete ever, Yos. Because if you can do that, man, I mean, come on. Yeah. But I'm not surprised at all, okay? Because women are the greatest creation life has ever known. Yeah. So you got to expect amazing things at all times.
I say, man, are you in a doghouse?
His wife must be.
Are you in a doghouse?
Now you remember his regular black comment.
Yeah.
Hey, I bought it for him.
He probably got a couple hate mails. So he had to. You know,
hey, man. Check my track record, man. I've always appreciated the women. All right, so look,
that's fair.
But
even the regular black
ones. Oh boy, not the regular.
I've always appreciated the women.
Really?
But look,
that's good.
Hey man, I think she is though. Okay. Honestly, I think she's a great. But the only thing that's a mystery to me is like, who is this cat, man? And how did he pull that off?
Exactly.
You know,
I think there were a billion reasons why he pulled it off. A billion reasons.
Yeah, but I guess. Yeah. She got her own money, yo.
Well, there's never too much for some people, Perry.
No, she got her own money.
He's not a looker, if you ask me.
Yeah, he's kind
of. I mean, hey,
sawed off fella.
I mean, some of y'all would tap Oprah.
Wow.
Yeah, but then, look, I'm not already rich.
For a billion reasons why. No offense.
We're not already rich, though, you know.
That's true.
You know, she got her own money.
Look at this one, right? Go ahead, raise your hand.
I didn't. What's the line I tell Yos? I didn't sell out. I brought in.
Yeah. Yep.
Good line.
Mm-hmm. One night with you, baby. Bill.
All right, that's it for Serena. 5 minutes. That's it for Finn.
Like Dave Chappelle.
NBA. Let's talk NBA. Let's talk NBA.
All right.
Well, before we talk NBA, let's talk quickly about this. The Police Community Reconciliation Basketball Games. So, obviously, we are right around the time, 2 years ago, the death of Freddie Gray, the uprising. There is going to be a series of basketball games. It's called the Police Community Reconciliation Basketball Games. It's at the UA Center at Fayette. BMO's Returning Citizens versus DC's Returning Citizens. Wow. Change Agents versus Everybody. Baltimore Police versus Washington, D.C. Police. As we take a look back at the uprising 2 years ago, the city is trying to use sports. And that's something that you just brought up, Mikel, the fact that this intersection between sports and society and how we can use sports to at least attempt to unify people. I don't know if anybody has any comment about that, but I think it's a
good start.
Yeah. That's a cool start. It's a cool start. for more information, I'm not. Once I find out more information, I know it's Sunday, April 23rd. If I find out more information about it, I'll report on it tomorrow during the Mod Squad segment of the show. So just wanted to throw that out there. All right, let's move on though. Let's go to the NBA. All right. Y'all tell me what's happening. All I know is the Wizards are 2-0. They won two games.
Yes, sir.
John Wall.
Be patient. Be patient. But, boy, don't you maybe come over there. Don't you maybe come over there.
The Wizards will. They'll be out of the playoffs soon.
You are like our number one hater.
Who's your team?
I don't understand.
I don't understand.
The Wizards.
I just don't understand.
Who's your team?
All right, let's do it. Hold, let's do this. All right, we need. Let's make sure we give each other space to be heard, because, I mean, everybody gets. You know, the main. Dookie steerer is El Crawford when it comes to basketball.
His I declare war statements.
Well, to his credit.
To his credit.
When he makes those statements, those definitive statements, he's typically right. He's 90%.
Here comes the hate.
Didn't they get like four or five NBA finals?
I don't remember. Well,
Perry.
I don't recall.
Right on the money, yo.
Yeah, Perry. Yes, you are. You have been uncanny.
Did you get last year's right?
Well, look, you know, I didn't predict Andrew Bogut and Draymond Green.
We don't have that, Perry. Listen,
we don't ever predict these things.
Put the violin down.
We never predict these things.
You know, so.
Hey, I think
what, Perry?
Go ahead, buddy.
All right, go ahead.
I was gonna say I think the most surprising thing is the Bulls are up 2-0, and they no one sees never lost two. They're back to their first two home games ever.
Well, to that series, it's clearly a mismatch. You know, down low, I think the Celtics are too small. And the second thing, I think they also caught the Celtics at the right time with, you know, Isaiah Thomas's sister. And a lot of things going on. So, I mean, the Celtics are the only team that I see that's, you know, really in trouble. You know, everybody else is kind of, you know, on pace with what they're supposed to do.
Right.
Because people got to realize, I mean, when it comes to the Hawks series and the Wizards series, I mean, the series is not going to start till somebody wins on somebody else's court.
Right.
You know,
you can
scream about how, you know, the Wizards are 2-0 and blah blah. Until you win a game on the other person's court, the series ain't started yet.
Right. I mean,
the series is over.
He's
absolutely right. Yes, and if we win on the Hawks home court, then it's over.
If they split, that's just enough. But at the same time, I, for one, I'm a bit bamboozled if we want to go back to this whole Bulls series. And I was talking to y'all off the air. Like, I mean, who knew the Minions could win together? I mean, they're all under 6 feet. Who knew? And who knew that all this playoff experience, all this championship experience, all this could resonate? Rondo done called out Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade, the so-called veterans. I mean, you walk in the place where you built it, basically, when Kevin Garnett and them was there. So at this point in time, now you almost didn't even make the playoffs. So now, as the eighth seed, you're propelling yourself to be one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, where you should have already been. And ironically, is it just a situation where Boston was caught at the wrong time, and Boston kind of caught wind and caught flames at a point where the Cavs was catching rain?
Let me just tell you real quick. I mean, this is just let me tell you something about the playoffs.
Let me tell you something about the playoffs.
It's going to be quick. The playoffs is all about matchups. I mean, that's why you play. That's why it's a seven-game series. Exactly. So you can be at the end of the day, you can be on 82-0, but at the end of the day, if you get against a team that can exploit your matchup,
you're done. It's a wrap, and you're
in a struggle. But
at the same time, this is not the MEAC championship. This is not you play all year long, and it doesn't matter what happens, because when the MEAC championship comes, it doesn't matter. It's all a matter of seedings. It's all a matter of implications. Yes, it's a matter of matchups, and let's be real. Nobody expected the eighth seeded Chicago Bulls, with all the turbulence that have faced them this whole year,
it's a little bit different, because when we're talking about college, that's one game. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely anything can happen. Like, we seen that great Kentucky team take an L to Wisconsin, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. College is different. In the NBA, the better team usually wins. Because we're talking about a 7-game series, and like that, it's all about matchups. And that's in not just basketball. That's in any.
But sport. Were you really expecting the Chicago Bulls to play like this? This was a team that was in disarray all season, and now all of a sudden they finally found an answer. Oh, give the ball to Jimmy Butler, and we can actually win.
But that was been the answer because it's been his team.
It's been his team, but I mean, but this, like I said,
Dwayne Wade almost wasn't even going to play. He was out indefinitely. What the remainder of the season? Who knew? And now Mr. ARP himself, another one. Who knew these old guys was coming to? I mean, Vince Carter, Duncan. I mean, half man, half AARP too. I mean, now these guys, now he's scoring 22 and it's vintage Dwayne Wade. I mean, and then he misses dunks. I mean, I understand it's all about matchups. All I understand it's all about the implications about what it's going to be. But at the same time, let's be real in the situation. There's people, some people out here that said Chicago didn't even stand a chance against Boston, if you looked at what Boston was able to produce in the regular season.
Because on paper, this team actually, we thought that they would be higher than the eighth seed, because if we're talking about paper, I mean, the New York Knicks should be in the playoffs too.
Oh, boy.
Heavens no. But my man right here just said it.
Playoff Rondo.
Well,
expound on that, Blanc.
Well, playoff Rondo, he just rises up to the occasion. You know, he's diamond. He's being that floor general that they need. And you have a young, well, he's not a rookie. He's like a second-year player, and Bobby Portis, who's coming off the bench. And these regular players during the regular season, they didn't show up. So you have players who are stepping up to the plate. And then you have IT, who, condolences to his sister, is facing that tragic situation.
Right.
And on defense, you have Jimmy Butler guarding Isaiah Thomas, which people are failing to realize he's a stretch. He's a forward playing against a point guard.
But they're actually double-teaming him.
And that's even worse. So you are eliminating their best player, and you systematically you see that offense runs around Isaiah Thomas.
You know what?
But you know what? I don't like this pickup. I didn't like the hype that was around Al Horford. Like I didn't think that was really gonna put them over the top.
But no.
What do I always say about Atlanta,
Cravante? Sure. Atlanta is the Eastern Conference Clippers, and to come from a team that I said that last week.
No.
I said last week because any team that has Dwight Howard on it, I don't trust.
Well, let me explain myself. Only reason I said that is because the Atlanta Hawks always have the formula to be in the midst of it all. But guess what you get with Atlanta? You get a status quo type of team where you don't even know who's going to take. Jeff Teague is not there anymore. When the game's on the line, who takes that shot? Schroeder's been making advances, but it's not too much to that degree. Al Horford came from that type of atmosphere where they played team first, not individualistic. So
the key to the Hawks and Wizards series that a lot of people don't realize is the fact that this is the first time in probably Paul Millsap's whole career that he doesn't have any type of advantage. Marquise Morris is basically the same size as him. You know, normally Paul Millsap will play against guys that are bigger than him or guys that are smaller than him. The guys that are smaller, he'll back them down. Guys that are bigger than him, he'll blow right past them. As you see Morris, Morris is just roughing him up, and he's the same size that he can guard him.
They say we playing MMA ball.
Did Charles Barkley call him one of the Morris? They call him a Morris law firm. But you know, to that degree too, I mean, if you look at the difference between games one and two, games one, it was solely won to a degree on the starting five.
Yeah.
And Atlanta's bench did better than the Wizards bench.
Yikes.
And then the game two, you saw a complete Wizards team where Marquise Morris was in foul trouble the whole game. Well, you saw guys like Brandon Jennings. I mean, them 6 points was vital at a point where the game could have went anyway because Atlanta kind of sort of came back. So now you're looking at they don't have enough. And Dwight Howard didn't even play the last.
But you gotta understand what Scott Brooks did. The mistake that Scott Brooks made in the first game was, if you remember, is he took all five starters out and put in nothing but the bench players. And in the second half, what he did was he left Bradley Beal in the game with the backups, and he also tried to leave Marquise Morris, but he got in foul trouble in game two. By him leaving the score, it allowed Brandon Jennings to get where he wanted on the floor. And really be a floor general. I mean, Brandon Jennings his tenacity and also his hustle and effort is really rising the second unit into being really
good. Scott Brooks is not in the conversation for Coach of the Year.
Come on, Perry. Come on, Perry.
Brandon, he did look like 2011 good Mick League form in that game, but he's just like J.R. Smith.
He went 3 for 3, Perry.
And you don't bet on him. Scott Brooks did the right thing. That's a great adjustment to make. Look, you got to keep a playmaker, and Brandon Jennings is not consistent enough to be that playmaker. You got to keep a playmaker on the court at all times. He realized that. Now he's keeping John Wall out there with the second unit, or he's keeping Bill out there with the second unit. And look, man, I keep telling you, Washington might just go to the finals, man, because they play.
Be patient,
look,
Perry.
Boston, I'm blaming you.
You need to be patient with Boston, okay, because they're going to get past Chicago. But even when they get past Chicago and they got to face Washington, they too soft, man. And Washington is the more physical team this year. All right, man. Marquise Morris, the attitude he's bringing. Look, what do they call themselves? Death Row DC, right?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, where and they said John Wall is Tupac because he's crazy. They say Bill is Snoop Dogg, and Marquise Morris is Dr. Dre. You know, and they doing the thing, man. They doing it out there. Yo, look, Wizards is going to the finals. Okay?
I would like to give a shout out to
Perry. They're going home.
I want to give a shout out to the squads we're probably not going to pay attention to because there's so much going on in other parts. I mean, Mr. Antetokounmpo. Ugh, I'm so happy I got that.
Greek Freak. That's not a heck of a series,
but that's a heck of a man playing in that series. That shout out to 22. The Bucks.
That's probably the low-key part one of the underrated series, you know, in this whole playoffs.
I would say the Jazz and the Clippers.
That was going to be a really good one.
But I think, you know, the fact that, as we see, the Greek Freak is now, he's that one player you see every year that kind of tries to take his game to the next level and be a star in the playoffs.
He's running, he's doing everything,
you know.
Yeah. That young man will be running the show.
He's kind of like a more aggressive KD,
so,
in a sense.
Just to throw this question out there.
Uh-oh.
Greek Freak, is he our modern-day Magic? Given his size, position, what he can
not
do
yet,
on the court?
I wouldn't say that.
According to LeVar Ball, it'll be his son.
Let's not talk about this guy.
BBB, we know we got, baby.
Not yet, but he has the potential to be a triple-double guy, though, because of his ability to pass. And obviously, his height, he's a great rebounder, and he can score.
What is his cat's name again?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Greek the Freak.
Well, I took pride in actually getting that. That's good. Where did he come from?
He came from Greece? He came from...
He was from...
I think it was Greece.
I think it was. It might have been.
So he played in Greece.
His name goes like this. Okay. Around his jersey, wow. Around his number.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
But I want to ask Perry. Perry, what do you think about Russell Westbrook?
Do you think
that is he costing his team by him... You know, shooting so many shots late in games. Like, I mean, I think he went 4 for 18 in the fourth, and really, kind of, in my opinion, kind of
shot him out the game.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you
the question? But that's an isolated event right there. He doesn't normally play like that. You know, he hasn't had that problem. He's been the one that's dropping dimes, right? You got to drop dimes to average triple double. Now he shot the ball 18 times in that fourth quarter, and that's uncharacteristic for him, even for him. If you compare him to how he played this season. But maybe he just felt like, look, I need to go out here. I don't think he was trying to be hero ball, but he didn't feel confident.
Let me let Raymond play around him.
Go ahead,
Raymond.
I just want to say this real quick because this is a line that Mikel used when she talked about LeBron in the finals couldn't get the water down his esophagus. That's the same thing in this series. I mean, my man, he only sat out, 7 minutes, and he just blew a lead within 90 seconds. I mean, it's really Russell Westbrook or bust. He can't sit on the bench whatsoever, and his team is really Russell Westbrook or bust on this team.
All right, Ramos.
I know there's some people that feel as though, you know, Kevin Durant shouldn't have gone and went to the Golden State and blah blah blah. But look at it this way: if they were still together, we would still be asking the same questions that we were asking before. This heroistic type of basketball, where it's who's going to take the last shot, it's us two. They had the formula to be Golden State, and you know why they lost? Because they went away from making the team around them in the bigs play, and they went to them two and the rest of their team. And with it being this year, I mean, let's be real. With outside of Kevin Durant, Adams can still ball. Cantor's still there. You have Oladipo. You have the same core, except for one guy that's not there. So now the question is,
I say, that core is gone.
The core, to a degree, Ibaka's is gone. But that core is gone. I mean, Ibaka been gone. But I mean, the key to this whole thing is now, if you look at last year and this year, the difference of the team is maybe one or two guys. My thing is Russell Westbrook. Did they fail to build a team around him, or has he an inability to not only leave his own individualistic endeavors and make everybody else better to do the best that he can?
Ramos, what's happening is, you know, when Kevin Durant was there, he was able to reel Westbrook in when he goes haywire, and he used to, you know, have those times where he shoots like 30
games. Yeah,
Kevin Durant was able, and even when James Harden was there, was able to grab the rock from him, wave him off, and really calm it down from him shooting 9 times straight to 18 times straight.
But see what happens? He thinks he can.
What did Oladipo do in game one? Didn't he make like 2 out of 12 shots?
Yeah, 2 out of 12, and then he turned around and did 4 out of 14.
So I mean, who does he have to pass the ball to? He's got to take these shots. That's the way he feels.
But Perry, you're right. What people have to realize is Westbrook is a point guard first. He has to run offense first. When you're a point guard, your job is to run the offense. All that pick and roll and just pulling up, shooting, that's not running offense. And you can't expect a player like Oladipo to sit outside. He's not a jump shooter. You have to run offense, and he has to cut to the basket, man. Trust me.
It's him or bust, man.
No, it's not. It's Westbrook handcuffing his team. That's what it is.
Come on. They blew a 12-point lead.
Old Kobe. He's 35-year-old Kobe.
Wait, I have a question.
I don't want to say my words.
How do you handcuff a team?
I don't want to say this because, you know, you come to love Russell Westbrook and look at the tear he's been off in Oscar Robertson. But to a degree, will Russell Westbrook, even if they go get him a team, will Russell Westbrook ever be able to touch the ring again prior to him and Kevin Durant going again? Kevin Durant will actually touch it, if not get it, at least more than once.
Hey,
it's unfair to make Kevin Durant look like a
Uncle Perry.
Russell Westbrook is going to L.A., okay? And he's signing with Magic Johnson in the Lakers.
And do what?
I guarantee you.
And do what, Dre? I don't know what you're going to do.
Handcuff them.
I guarantee you at some point he's going to be NBA champion with Magic.
You think his play going to change? Listen, to your point.
Tell him about
how
Magic.
How you saying he handcuffed.
He's number 3 all time.
How he handcuffed them to a 6 seed.
It's greatest of all.
That's me, your favorite player.
He's my favorite. Magic Johnson is my favorite player of all time.
Number 3 all time.
It's mine as well. We know what the magic is.
He trying to start it.
We don't have enough time.
To your point, how does he handcuff a team to the 6th seed? They got comfortable. They got used to him doing that triple-double thing and doing it the whole year. What you think will happen when we start the playoffs?
Basketball is a rhythm sport. It's a rhythm sport.
And he was the only one in rhythm. He was the only one in any kind of rhythm. Nobody else got in rhythm.
And he'll go 3-for-13 if he shoots 18 times again.
Never wins the game heroistic.
Listen, we all knew the Thunder weren't going to make it out the first round.
All right.
This is just facts.
And James Harden has the better team and possibly should have had MVP.
Against the Rockets? Come on now.
That was a shot. Right.
His team is better.
He might get a game.
He might get a game.
What are the implications of these series now?
We're out of time. El Crawfo, Blanc, Dr. Dre, Cravante, Uncle Perry, and Ramos, thank you all. Appreciate it. Great job. That's it for us. That's it for the NWA and First Edition. It is a production of WEAA. The show is produced by executive producer Sean Yoes, associate producer Iorio Digizua. Our First Edition interns are Isaiah George, Wyman Jones, Christian West, Janelle Ferguson, Alex Blanc, Deja Braggs, Jonathan Williams, Miracle Chukwukaeze, Drew Mitchell, and Valentin Davis. Stay tuned as WEAA continues to celebrate Jazz Appreciation Month, highlighting 2017 NEA Jazz Masters Dede Bridgewater and Dr. Lonnie Smith. Next, right here on Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I am Sean Yoes. Peace.